Hello, and welcome to Team Talk. This is John Fussell. I am a Chief Investment Officer of Team Hewins. And going to do a little talk today about what's been going on in the world in the context of just now started the fourth quarter. So reflection on 2020 so far, three quarters into it, and it's certainly a year like no other. Wrote a letter recently and referred to Queen Elizabeth II, who in 1992, after a really tough year for the British royal family, had suffered an awful year of tragedies and scandals, referred to the year as the Annus Horribilis, meaning horrible year. And boy, with all that we've been dealing with in terms of obviously primarily the pandemic and the adjustment to our lives, and certainly mourning the loss of people who've lost their lives from COVID and the many millions who have contracted the disease and the suffering they've been through. It's been brutal in and of itself. But of course, here in the U.S., we've been also dealing with a number of other issues as we've confronted a lot of racial injustice issues and those frustrations and lots of demonstration and some unfortunate violence that's occurred in some instances. That's been really disappointing. We've been dealing with a lot of natural disasters, suffering the destruction of historically vast and devastating wildfires in Western states. We're dealing with a hurricane season that's unbelievable, going well into the Greek alphabet, and Louisiana is on the verge of getting hit again with another major hurricane at this moment. And we're bracing for an unusual election that, may produce extended controversy if there's not a clear and convincing winner initially after the polls close. So it's getting hard to imagine, what could happen next. Obviously, seeing a president and first lady and other senior members of the administration contract COVID in the last week was just another one that seemed even beyond what a great fiction writer could come up with. So it's just been wild and crazy and obviously unsettling in so many ways. But meanwhile, the economy continues to be able to function. And there is, in spite of all the challenge of the year, a lot of good that's been happening. As disturbing as everything has been, it's pretty remarkable how well individuals, businesses, nonprofits, governments have stepped up to keep the economy functioning and have come up with ways on the fly, really, to adjust to this new world without causing, for example, massive shortages. That was a real fear back in the spring between the food supply, manufacturing components. There would be major problems in supply across the economy globally. And fortunately, that really has not occurred. And that's just one major example of how successfully so much of the world has been able to adjust to this new reality. Now, part of the ability to do that adjustment is that financial resources were made available. And for as dysfunctional and frustrating the legislative branch, so for example, in the United States has been, they did get $3 trillion in stimulus already authorized and are in negotiation now, as fluid as it may be from day to day right now, for roughly another $2 trillion. And that now the question is when that gets authorized. Has it happened before or after the elections? And markets are sort of back and forth on a day-to-day basis right now on those headlines. Other things that have occurred, we've had, we lost a massive number of jobs, but we have gotten about half of those jobs back. And as we look now at this into the fall and winter, where does that stand? And, we're on guard. Job growth in September for the month was disappointing. And we are getting layoff announcements. Companies like Disney, Allstate have made some major layoff announcements. We're looking for specific relief for the airlines to avoid furloughs. Again, that's on a day-to-day basis, but the airlines are really being pressed now and are likely, if they're not going to get that support very soon, are furloughing thousands of people. On balance, it's just been pretty remarkable on the life science case. I mean, the life science institutions, whether they be from the government level to academia, and of course the corporate life science industry, the rollout of vaccines and therapies that are going through fast track approval processes, and the results so far that have come out for a number of both therapies and vaccines are all looking good. So, it just takes time. And that's really more of a 2021 story in terms of rollout on a mass scale than it is a 2020 story. You know, while parts of Europe are struggling with the resurgence of cases, just keep in mind that so much of Asia, basically all the Pacific Rim, has COVID well under control. And economic recovery in 2021 across Asia is looking quite robust. Asian Development Bank is projecting 7.7% growth in China for next year and 9% in India. So the world, outside the U.S., in particularly in Asia, can really carry potentially the global economy, at least in the first half of next year. So markets have been benefiting from a lot of this ability of corporations to adjust as quickly as they've been able to. We've had a very robust performance in equities in July and August. It was the best August since 1986. Markets did pull back in September, but we still ended up with good gains for the quarter, with the S&P 500 rising just under 9%. We gave back about 4 percentage points in September, so it would have been even closer to about 13% had September been flat. But we did, things just got by a little frothy there by the end of August. Speculative spirits and a number of leading technology-related stocks just got pretty crazy. Now, it's true, these companies were enjoying very strong profits as demand for technology has been fueling the work-at-home economy. But other forces played a role too, and the Federal Reserve has been an important one. They made a big announcement in August about shifting their approach to how they react to inflation. This is the best way to put it. And instead of just targeting a fixed number for inflation as to when they would start to raise interest rates, they instead have shifted from a fixed number, hitting a fixed point, to looking at things on an average basis. And what that means is that inflation, they would allow inflation to run somewhat above their target for an extended period until that average gets to be more like the target. And all that translates to the Federal Reserve potentially not raising rates for an extended period, maybe well into 2023. So with interest rates, short-term interest rates close to zero, valuations on equities can elevate to historically high levels and just stay there for a while. So that provides an underlying valuation support for the stock market. Another phenomenon that was going on with the stay-at-home economy is that people were at home looking for things to do. And one of those things, retail investors getting more interested in the stock market. One of the leading online trading platforms is Robinhood, and it has been a popular place for first-time investors to start trading stocks. 50% of their new customers this year are new to investing. So all in all, parts of the equity market just got pretty hot by early September. The 3.8% decline that we had for the month, in the scheme of things, hopefully was just not too much of a painful way to work out some of that excess. So what does it all mean in terms of, as we reflect on this unbelievable year, are there lessons learned? How should we be adjusting our approach to how we look at markets and how we invest? And I've just got a few thoughts on that to wrap up. Markets with the pace of change, move faster and faster thanks to the flow of information and instantaneous reaction, which therefore has meant policymakers, whether they be legislative in the Congress or monetary at the Federal Reserve, are forced to move in much bigger ways much more quickly. And therefore also businesses also have to move in much bigger ways and much more quickly than in the past. And you look at the year and it's just, you know, remarkable. Back in February, the S&P 500 hits a record high. Then it falls roughly 30%+ in about 10 trading days in March, bottoms by March 23rd. And by the end of September, the S&P had risen 5.5% for the year. And so you're like, whoa, real panic in March to April to really almost overconfidence by the end of September. To us, it just tells you that the case for trying to time markets and make significant bets on overall market direction or on, say, specific industries, it's just the ability to do that is just going to get tougher, just tougher and tougher. The case for trying to do it to us is just weaker and weaker. So staying disciplined, sticking to a good plan is the way to go, and not trying to react to headlines or even trying to anticipate headlines. It's just too, the movement is too difficult. So the answer is diversification. Diversification, it really works. Latest example is just what's gone on in the last month. Just as technology growth stocks powered the market higher in July and August, and there was this, you know, great confidence, almost, you know, over exuberance in early September, those stocks started to sell off. And value stocks, representing industry sectors like materials, transportation, industrials, financials, outperformed growth stocks in September. So the lesson is, you know, what's working well at any one moment can change to other areas just very quickly. So the answer is, you know, keep all the bases covered at all times. And that's what we do in our investment program, and that we strongly recommend for all investors to do. And the last lesson is, don't fear volatility, rather take advantage of it. You know, follow that very disciplined approach, track your allocations carefully. As areas get meaningfully overweight or underweight, adjust portfolios, rebalance. We, in the midst of the great panic around COVID in March, many of our portfolios became underweight relative to their targets and equities. We followed the discipline. We sold some fixed income. We added to equities. That wasn't market timing. We just were following our prescribed investment program. So we added to equities in late March, which looks brilliant right now, but it was nothing more than following the program that we had laid out. And clients have been able to recover their values much more, that much more quickly. So we're all getting through this this real difficult year together, and we'll all get through what may lie ahead in 2021 and beyond. Hopefully, 21 does bring much more good to the world than 20 has, and at least the affirmation that, you know, key principles of not market timing, using diversification, not getting too scared about volatile markets, that affirmation has been really good for us, for our clients, and is to us, you know, a great reassurance and very comforting. And with that, I will wrap it up and thank you for your attention, and look forward to speaking again soon. Thank you.
Team Talk is produced by Team Hewins, counselors to family wealth. For more information about our advisors and our services, please visit teamhewins.com. Thank you. The content on this podcast is for informational purposes only. It should not be taken as legal, business, tax, or investment advice, or be used to evaluate any investment or security. This podcast does not constitute a solicitation to enter into any investment agreement with Team Hewins. For more details, please visit teamhewins.com/terms of use.